we'll do some Patti Smith, some Blondie, Television. Yeah, we'll find some other stuff as well, but those are things I've got. But yeah, we're just going to talk to the hour with y'all. Enjoy. This is the Vanishing America Fun Line. Song is playing. I thought I would tell you a little bit about the 1975 New York City debt crisis. Before 1975, the city of New York City paid for its social services and welfare programs, such as the subway, and I'm not really sure what other programs, but they paid for them using bonds. They would sell bonds to mostly banks. And so banks basically took on debt for the city so that the city could take care of people. And the banks originally thought, as banks generally do, that the money would be paid back. But over time it became clear that the city wasn't generating enough tax revenue or revenue at all to pay back their bonds. So in 1975, the banks were supposed to have a meeting to buy the bonds. And the city showed up to the meeting. I think it was at 9 a.m. And the banks weren't there. So you can see there's like little videos in this documentary of basically like press releases after the banks didn't show up. So they were told, okay, the banks will come at 2 o'clock. The banks told them that they would come at 2 o'clock. So they say, okay, we'll have more information at 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock hits and the banks still aren't there, and they say, okay, The banks will be here at 4 o'clock. And 4 o'clock hits, and the banks still aren't there. And so what ends up happening is the city negotiates a deal with the banks, which take on... Oh, I guess I have to log this song. Sorry. This is Aphex Twin. I'm just like, I have some ambient music, so I'm just going to talk also a little bit about some of the stuff that the documentary talks about. So, essentially, the banks say they're going to take control of the city. And this is a major shift politically, right? Because before this, the city was run by, you know, city council, the mayoral chair, like the mayorship, if you will, and like the traditional elected officials with which a city is run. And the city asks the president, Gerald Ford at the time, asks him to bail out New York City, and he says no. And I think the headline was that I read in the New York Times piece, or not the New York Times, the NPR piece about this. There's, I think, a Planet Money about this 1975 crisis. But essentially, Ford says no, and the headline is Ford to New York City. Something? He said something crazy. Alright, I found it. Ford to city, drop dead. And so, essentially, the banks take control over the city, and this is the first time that instead of the city being run by the people who, like the people themselves, it's run by these financial institutions, these banks, these corporations, and they impose austerity and fire a bunch of teachers and social workers because they argue that they're a waste of money. That they're the reason that, you know, the debt's not being paid off. And so time passes, and, you know, the city used to be very full of political discourse. You know, you had the leftists and the I guess, right-wing people in New York City, but you know, there's a lot of kind of progressive movement. That's why they had all of those social services before. And basically, instead of rising up to meet the challenge of the newly imposed austerity, the activists retreat into the abandoned buildings of Manhattan. And they say, well, if we can't change what's actually happening because these banks are too powerful, you know, the corporations, like you're up against a corporation, you're not up against something you can, you know, like influence at this point. Because before this, you could influence things by voting and by campaigning for different people. But at this point, their only option is, so essentially they say, like, if we can't change what's actually happening, maybe we can change what's in people's minds. And so they start to make art. And so you see Patti Smith and kind of this like punk rock scene develop that's watching the city kind of crumble around them. Watching the decay happen. And I think that's kind of beautiful. But it's also, you know, very depressing. As we see today, this kind of phenomenon is becoming, like, more common, right? I watched the whole documentary previously, but I should go back and watch the rest. But yeah, those are just some thoughts on the 1975 debt crisis in New York City, which is the beginning of the documentary. The documentary starts in 1975 in the cities of New York and Damascus in Syria. And from there, it talks about the political, economic, social shifts that occur in the 80s and essentially explains the rise of neoliberalism and the new world order that comes with it. And so, yeah, it ends, it goes all the way up to, I believe, the election of Donald Trump. So it also talks about 9/11 and the post 9/11 world, the 2008 financial crisis. Yeah. So this is On Some Faraway Beach by Brian Eno. I'm going to let this song play out, see if I have anything else to say. It is 3:16, so I have about 14 more minutes of soundtrack / talking time, and then I think we'll get into some music from the era, and the era being really the beginning of the era, because the documentary covers pretty much up until present. So yeah, well, I hope you enjoy. This is Brian Eno. Thank you. Suicide. This is the Flat Mill video too. Another song from the soundtrack to the documentary. I'm looking at the Wikipedia page for hypernormalization right now, and the term hypernormalization was coined by a man named Alexei Yurchek. From Leningrad, who taught at Berkeley, and he wrote a book called Everything Was Forever Until It Was No More at the Last Soviet Generation, published in 2006, describing paradoxes of Soviet life in the 1970s and 80s, and that made me think, like, I don't remember if it was in this, I think it was in this documentary, but just the real disillusionment that came to the Soviet Union during this time, because the leaders would say one thing and do another, and you could never exactly be sure what to expect. It was a very truth was hard to find. I remember, like learning about Chernobyl and how the government maintained that everything was fine, totally safe, and despite that, people were like dying. So I think that goes to show some of the disillusionment that definitely happened during this time. But yeah, very interesting stuff. The documentary is split into 9 chapters, the first being 1975, which I already told you about, the next being The Human Bomb, and this describes the kind of involvement of the U.S. in the Middle East in the 1982 Lebanon War, which admittedly I do not know much about. I should learn more. But the Wikipedia says a vengeful Al-Assad made an alliance with Ruhollah Khomeini of Iran. I don't know how to say that. I'm learning Arabic, not Persian. But they planned to force the U.S. out of the Middle East by encouraging civilians to carry out suicide bombings on American targets in the region. And I found this part of the documentary super interesting because it describes how they like convinced these people that it was worth giving their lives to support the regime. I mean, essentially, all they did was paint it as a like basically sanctified suicide, and just said that if you do this, God, Allah will look favorably upon you, and so that's how suicide bombings became a thing. And obviously they were very important following that. But yeah, I'll let this song play perhaps again, because I'll give a few more minutes of information. The next chapter is called Altered States. This talks about the mid-1980s. Banks and corporations were connecting through computer networks to create a hidden system of power. And basically a new technological world whose roots went back to the counterculture of the 1960s and libertarianism. I don't know why it sounded like I struggled to pronounce that word. I know what it means. but they saw the internet as an opportunity to make an alternative world full of political and legal restraints, which obviously is very interesting today because it feels like the internet is all there really is anymore. Perhaps that's a little pessimistic. That's very pessimistic. I apologize. I don't think the internet actually is all that there really is anymore, but I do think that we are dangerously approaching that point. Dangerously quickly approaching that point because of, you know, climate change and decimation of the natural world, which is definitely depressing, and perhaps we should be even more upset about it. Many people already are, but is anyone really doing anything? I don't know. Other chapters that I found interesting. The early ones were my favorites. but then everything just starts colliding at once, because we learn about, in one chapter, A World Without Power, the effect of the Iraq War, wrecking havoc on the American psyche, people retreat into cyberspace, social media algorithms show information that's pleasing to their users and hence do nothing to challenge their beliefs. Occupy Wall Street emerges as an attempt to disrupt the system by imitating a leaderless system that the internet was once imagined to become. And similarly, the Egyptian Revolution of 2011 also happened. The documentary touches on Muammar Gaddafi in Libya and the withdrawal of him, and Gaddafi being captured by rebels. Occupy Wall Street and Arab Spring do not turn out well for the revolutionaries. It's a line from Wikipedia, but I mean, safe to say that that's definitely the case. And it also talks about the rise of Trump on the internet and the American left's attempt to resist him. And the kind of tragedy that ensued, because people tried to resist Trump on the internet, but they actually were just feeding the corporations and essentially playing into the whole thing. So, yeah, those are kind of some of the tragedies that I found interesting in this documentary. We're going to transition now over to some music of the era, and perhaps this is a little bit more upbeat, or maybe not, but I love Blondie, so here's Heart of Glass.
Could have made it cruising, yeah. 는 Dream Hotel. You just had to quarrel. Sent you away. I was looking for you. Are you gone, gone? Call you on the phone. Another dimension. Where you never return.
Ticket, win a lottery, scoop the pearls up from the sea, cash them in and buy you all the things you need. Every night before I rest my head, those dollar bills go swirling at my bed. I know they're stolen, but I don't be bad. I take that money, buy you things you never had. Oh, baby, it would mean so much to me. Jet plane, babe, get you on a high plane to a jet stream and take you through the stratosphere and check out the planet and then take you down deep where it's hot, hot in Arabia, baby, then cool, cold, you feel the snow and we'll roll, drain,
coming and spilling juice over me. Odds and ends, odds and ends. Lost time is not found again. Ah, you take your file and you bend my head. I never can remember anything that you said. You promised to love me, but what do I know? You're always spilling juice on me like you got some place to go. Yourself. Odds and ends, odds and ends. Lost time, not found again.
I had a hard time waking this morning.
Time.
hope you all have enjoyed kind of the switch up on my show. Usually I just play kind of random stuff, but this has been a lot of fun trying to stick to something. That being said, I'm not going to stick to it. I want to play one of my favorite Arabic language songs at the moment. So I'm going to play that for you here in a few minutes. This is Marquee Moon by Television. Another kind of punk band out of, I believe, New York City. But yeah, enjoy. You're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO Medford, Coast Reform Radio. I'm Wendell, and this has been Speak On It. Enjoy.